You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
The following podcast will contain spoilers and possibly explicit language. Hello, we are... My name is Phil, and with me is...
Cheyenne.
And together we are talking about somebody's favorite movie. We do believe that every movie is somebody's favorite. And here we're going to talk about some of ours going forward. Today we are going to be talking about Shirley Valentine. For those of you who don't know, which I'm sure will be most of you, Shirley Valentine is a middle-aged Liverpool housewife who finds herself talking to the wall while she prepares her husband's steak and eggs, wondering what happened to her life. She compares scenes in her current life with what she used to be like and feels she's stagnated and in a rut. But when her best friend wins an all-expenses-paid vacation to Greece for two, Shirley begins to see the world and herself in a different light. You know this movie better than I do. Can you tell me what about this movie, tell me about your history with this movie.
Do we want to start that part over a little bit? Because you seemed very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was a little awkward.
Do you want me to kind of give the brief synopsis?
Yes.
Okay. Do we want to redo the intro?
Yeah, let's just start over from the top.
Okay, just keep it running. We can edit it from there.
All right.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Somebody's Favorite Movie. I'm Cheyenne, and this is...
Phil.
How are you guys doing? So, Somebody's Favorite Movie. Everybody has a favorite movie. Sometimes it seems silly to others when people tell people what their favorite movie is. But we feel like every movie has something to give. So we're going to really deep dive into some different movies here on this podcast. And for our inaugural podcast, we're going to do Shirley Valentine. Now, you might not know what Shirley Valentine is, but it is a movie from the 80s, 1989, from England. And it's about a middle-aged housewife. And I know it seems silly to be watching a movie about middle-aged housewives when we're, well, Phil is in his 40s now, but I'm still in my 30s. But it's about realizing that your life sometimes goes in a totally different direction and you find out that you're just married and stagnant and you're talking to walls because that is the only thing that will listen to you. But Shirley and her best friend end up going to Greece, and it's kind of like she was able to find herself again. So anyway, that is the brief synopsis of Shirley Valentine, and we're going to dive right in.
All right. Before we do that, can you tell me when did you first see this movie?
So I first saw this movie probably when I was 13 years old. I remember I was at my aunt's house and her best friend, Sandy, came over and she had two movies with her. She had Shirley Valentine and she had Strictly Ballroom. And we watched them, and I can't remember which one we watched first, but I don't know what it is about British television and movies that I love. So when I watched it, I immediately fell in love with it. But which is weird because I was like 13 years old.
And apparently my first time watching this movie was about a week before we recorded this.
Right. I swore I showed this to you years ago when we first started dating.
Yes. And but when we sat down to watch it to get ready for this, I could not remember a single thing that happened.
I must have watched it by myself one night.
Either that or I went to sleep or who knows.
That's possible too.
But
that's very possible.
The one thing I learned is that I missed out at that time, but we'll circle back to that point as we go on. Let's kind of walk through what actually happened in this movie. As you indicated, it does start with Shirley coming home, talking to the wall, her appliances, and even the camera.
Completely breaking the fourth wall.
Absolutely decimating the fourth wall. But it's a good way to get kind of get some exposition out and let us know, you know, how some of the high points of how we got we are today. But then the action kind of starts when her neighbor down the street comes by to ask a favor.
Right. So her neighbor comes over and asks if Shirley can come over and feed their dog, which is a bloodhound. Anyway, they're vegan. So
the dog is not does not like this vegan diet, and that is obvious from the first time you see this dog.
Right. So, I mean, without going into too fine of details, things occur. There is a steak involved, and
dogs like steak.
Dogs like steak. But that steak was going – that was supposed to be for a Thursday night dinner.
For Thursday night steak and eggs.
Steak and – yeah. So instead she's making chips and egg for her husband Joe, and he's none too pleased because Joe
likes things a certain way.
And it's not even an abusive way. He's just very very stringent with order and things occurring on specific days. So
they have a routine down, and you know when your routine gets sort of disrupted, we all know things can get discombobulated rather quickly.
Right. So anyway, things occur. She ends up telling Joe, you know, she's been secretly planning this trip to Greece and with her friend. And she
Shirley does hem and haw quite a bit on whether or not she'll actually go.
Yeah, she wanted to go, but she was also afraid to go because she's never really left England because Joe gets culture shock just going to town. So she ends up going to Greece, even though Joe doesn't believe that she's going to go.
But before we do that, we do see some flashbacks to Shirley's younger days when she was a bit of a rebellious teenager.
She really was. She liked to smoke behind the school building. She had a rival named Marjorie Majors, who we later see in another flashback. So through the course of this movie is really – there are key people in it, but really it's Shirley telling her story.
It is, yes.
So she's flashing back to when she's in high school and she's smoking behind the schoolyard and she's wondering where this young girl was who is so vibrant and full of life and where she went and how her and Joe had a really romantic and loving relationship, and now it's just kind of they tolerate each other now that they have two grown children who are out of the house. And it's really like where your life goes as you get older and things start changing and you have people, your children leaving the house, and now you're stuck with this person who you at one time loved, and then
over time you just, you know, you didn't maintain the relationship.
Right.
So, for many reasons, not any of – I'm surely none of them were malicious in any way. It just the way life went.
Well, and also I think in the 80s you had a very different way of living. You know, Shirley was a housewife. Joe went to work, made the bacon, came home to eat his chips and egg. And you kind of like lose your relationship, and neither one really worked on it and fostered it. But she also had like girlfriends that she used to go out with, and they all lost touch with each other. And so Shirley really is essentially alone, and she doesn't have any real friends besides the lady who lives across the street who is a one-upper. And I don't know if any of you have met a one-upper, but –
the battle never ends then.
It really doesn't. So anyway, let's forward. Let's get to Greece.
We are now in Greece. And the first thing that happens, even before they even get to Greece, is the friend that Shirley went there with ended up meeting a businessman on the plane.
And her friend like totally ditched her.
Ditched her for a couple of days.
Yeah. Those were some really good olives.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, So Shirley is once again on her own. And this is a tourist attraction, and there are other people from England there, and they're all... I don't know how to put it. How would you put it, Phil?
Ignorant.
Well, yeah, ignorant. Typical, like what you would think, like, snotty people would be.
When I watched it, they kind of made me think of the stereotypical American tourist.
Right, but they were from England.
But they were English, so.
I mean, when you have great lines like, I mean, I'd like Greece if it were more like Spain. They were big jerks. But they were uncomfortable with Shirley being on her own. And they would try and incorporate her into their group. And Shirley,
but we can see that it's a square peg trying to fit into a round
right.
hole.
Right. Shirley is having none of it. And she calls them out on their bullshit. She really does.
Mm-hmm. She does.
And it's...
But she does, you know, continues to isolate her from the group.
Right.
And then it all kind of comes to a head when Jeanette and Doug, who was this American acting English couple, they invite Shirley to join them in their and they discuss their adventures installing a jacuzzi in their home.
Right. Jeanette and Dougie. I love and loathe Jeanette and Dougie because they are horrible human beings. But I love when Shirley just completely, like, decimates them.
And they find out what calamari is,
right,
too.
Like, they had no idea what calamari is. And then she...
And it's at this point that Shirley leaves this tour group and kind of goes off on her own.
Right. And she goes down and she finds this little bar off of the beach. And that's where she meets Costas,
mm-hmm.
who is a Greek gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
Who promises not to make fuck with her.
Because boat is boat.
And fuck is fuck. But he...
But Shirley does make a request of Costas, and that's to move the table in his bar down by the beach. And it's to make her dreams come true.
Right. She's always wanted to sip a glass of wine in the country where it's made and look out onto the water. And I think this scene in itself is really because she gets there and this happens and she's fulfilled a part of her dream. And then she realizes that sometimes dreams in our head don't always live up to the expectations that we put forth. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, what does this really mean?
Yeah, that's kind of pretty much exactly what I put into my notes at this point. That Shirley goes into a very reflective mood at this point and reflecting on all of her unused and lost potential and hopes and dreams and even, you know, just the state of her life at this stage. Before too long, the bartender offers to escort Shirley back to her room. At the same time, he offers a private tour of the island on his brother's boat.
And that's where those famous words come from. Boat is boat. Fuck is fuck. I promise not to make fuck with you, Shirley.
But so then back in the hotel room, Jane comes back.
The very next morning. Like Shirley's going out on the boat with Costas. And then.
But Shirley offers her forgiveness and then she promises to introduce Jane to Jeanette and Doug.
Right. As they're leaving, she introduces them to Jeanette and Dougie. I just have to make a point. We completely overshot like two big points.
Oh, yes.
I got to go back.
Go ahead.
I have to go back because I cannot believe I mentioned Marjorie Majors from high school.
Yes.
And when she was hemming and hawing about whether or not she was going to go to Greece, she ran into Marjorie Majors and she was on the street corner and she had these bags and it was raining and Marjorie Majors, like, rolls up and, like, splashes water all over her. And she gets out and she realizes it's Shirley Valentine. And she invites her up to her hotel room.
So she can dry her clothes off.
Right. You know, and she ran into an old high school friend. And she was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I ran into you. But All this time, Shirley Valentine thought that Marjorie Majors had become a Concorde air hostess. and she's telling Marjorie Majors all about this. And Marjorie's like, whatever gave you that idea? I'm a hooker. I'm a high-class whore. And a
quite high-class hooker, too.
Right.
She gets to travel all over the world.
Right. So,
and she actually seemed like she was pretty happy doing that too.
Right. I mean, she had a really good product, so she was selling it. But that really, like, they realized that they each one of them had something that they really envied in one another. Marjorie always wished she could be more like Shirley because Shirley was young and adventurous and was a wild spitfire, and Shirley wished that people would take her as seriously as she took Marjorie Majors. Mm-hmm. So that's the one big thing.
Yeah, because Marjorie is more conventionally attractive.
Well, not even conventionally attractive, but she was also – she had like her mother like put her in elocution lessons and people always just assumed she was very, very smart. And it's not saying that she wasn't, but Shirley was just as smart but in different ways.
Right.
And then the other thing is that her neighbor ran into her as she was shopping, and she was shopping for underwear. And her neighbor realized that she was like – Shirley had told her that she was like going to Greece with her lover. And her neighbor was like, I wish I was as brave as you were to do something like that. And she gave her a beautiful like silk robe.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that silk robe later on.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, let's get back to the boat.
Yes. Because so we're back on the boat.
We're back on the boat.
And boat is boat at this point.
Boat is boat. So they're going around. They're going around the island. They're talking about how great the water looks. They end up skinny dipping. And when you skinny dip, I don't know, things happen. So there was fuck on the boat. Anyway.
Fuck became fuck at that point.
Right. So they come back and the
thing that kind of struck me with that scene is Costas was very much a Lothario, but he accepted Shirley as she was, you know, didn't try to, you know, pretend she was anyone else or ignore certain parts of her. Especially when Costas paid attention to her stretch marks, that kind of stuck out for me.
Right. Well, and I mean, Costas kind of knows what he's doing.
Oh, yes.
I mean, this whole thing is very – he finds women who are middle-aged who might need some extra love and attention.
And before too long, we know that this is not Costas' first time on this rodeo.
Oh, no. No, like Costas is like
– he's got this routine down.
This is his game. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but hey, that's the way people are.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Shirley starts like slowly falling in love with Greece, and she starts like becoming alive again. Like this is,
and this, not just Greece, but this is the process of her falling back in love with herself,
right? And really getting to know herself again, because for so long she was Joe's wife and her children's mother. So, I mean, it really is like you see her awakening and you see her like, really just like become more exuberant over the course of the movie.
And you see that, you know, she displays her happiness a little bit more as she starts to find it again.
Right. So as we go on, she,
we cut back to England Joe. A few times, and yeah. We see that
Joe is not
handling it well.
No, Joe is having a whole hard time right now. Like he is, like the dishes aren't being done. He pulls the phone out of the wall because Shirley's like, "I'm not coming home." Basically, Shirley's like, "I'm not leaving Greece," because she just realized that she couldn't go back to her old life.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, Joe, like, pulls the cord out of the wall, and now it's like, how are you going to call her back, Joe?
Did you think that went through, Joe?
I don't really think she could see that part, Joe. So, so she ends up staying in Greece. Like, she goes to the airport with Jane and Jeanette and Doggy.
Yes.
And they check in. She checks her bag. Also, I just have to say, coming from a former airline employee, I know this is like post 9/11 and all this stuff, but there are so many like rules and regulations of flying with
things
baggage.
Things you could get away with in the 80s and 90s that you can't get away with
right.
today.
Like, so she like sends her suitcase back to England and she leaves and she goes away. She goes back to the hotel and she goes back to the bar where she sees Costas talking to another woman saying the same exact line.
Same exact line. But she could be she had a choice to make at this point.
Right. Well, and she just basically was like, I don't really want you. I just want a job.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to work here.
And yeah, definitely. And Shirley knows what she wants at this point.
Right.
And she's starting to go after it.
Right. So Joe does end up coming to Greece for the first time ever to try and win her back. And that's basically the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yep. And they shared a drink and on the beach, and the credits rolled at this point. And because we're now in an age where we stay past through the credits, you know, we watched it all the way through, but there was no scene after the credits, unfortunately.
Well, this isn't a Marvel movie,
babe. I know. Well, Ferris Bueller was doing it before Marvel ever thought of it.
That's true. That's very true. Go home. The movie's over.
Okay, so that's kind of summed up that was kind of the plot line of Shirley Valentine in kind of going through some of the actors and actresses that we saw. We have Pauline Collins, of course, who played Shirley. You've probably seen her in Upstairs Downstairs, where she played Sarah.
This is the original Upstairs Downstairs from way back in the day. They did make a remake, but I don't think I really ever watched that one.
I don't think I have either. She does a lot of BBC shows, so that you may not have heard of. But she was in The Black Tower, The Ambassador, and Bleak House as well. And I think a couple other were there any other shows?
One of the latest movies that she was in is called Quartet, and it had Maggie Smith and a couple of other English fellows in it. Mm-hmm. So it was actually really good. Like, I really liked it. I watched it, and I was like, because it's Dame Maggie Smith
right.
and Pauline Collins. So
can't go wrong there.
You can't go wrong there. Like, that's my heart. Anyway, mm-hmm. Let's go on.
And Tom Conti, who played Costas, you probably saw him in a couple episodes of Friends, where he played Stephen Waltham, the father of Helen Waltham, I believe, who Ross was attempted to marry.
Oh, yeah. Now I recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
He was also in a movie called Rabbit Fever, where he played Professor Rosenberg. He was also apparently in The Dark Knight Rises, or he was a prisoner. I didn't recognize him, but...
Well, I mean, you can't really recognize the prisoners when they're in that hole, right?
No. And he was also in Paddington 2 very recently. He played Judge Gerald Biggleswade.
Oh, boy.
If you've seen that movie, probably know exactly who that is. We haven't, so we don't. But that's okay.
I'm sure we'll see it soon. We have a 3-year-old.
We do. And Joanna Lumley, who played Marjorie Majors, the grown-up Marjorie Majors.
Who is most famously known...
As
Patsy from Absolutely Fabulous.
Ah, but did you know she was also in 2 episodes of Are You Being Served?
I did. Only because I also really love that show.
We do have to watch that too one of these days.
Yes.
She was also in Wolf of Wall Street as Aunt Emma. And she was also in Paddington 2 with as Felicity Fanshawe. And finally, this movie was directed by Lewis Gilbert, who the week that we're recording this has actually just recently passed away. But you He has also directed the original Alfie. He did a couple. He did three different James Bond movies: You Only Live Twice, The Spy Who Loved Me, and Moonraker. And he's also well known for Educating Rita, which is also based on a play by the playwright who wrote Shirley Valentine originally.
I've never seen Educating Rita.
I've heard of it. I've never watched it, so.
Well, maybe I'll have to find it. Maybe it'll be just as good as Shirley Valentine.
And if it is, maybe we'll talk about it here.
Maybe. We'll see.
Anyone else from the movie you want to talk about, or?
Well, Alison Steadman, I believe that's who the neighbor is.
Mm-hmm.
She was in Pride and Prejudice,
and also Gavin and Stacey.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a pretty, like, big cast.
It's a pretty big cast, and if you're a fan of BBC shows, this is your movie.
Right. So, how about we talk about how we feel? I know I talked about a little bit about my history with the movie and why I never really got into why it was one of my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to hear your reason. This is one of your favorite. What you thought of the movie?
What I thought of it. I am disappointed that I missed it the first time we watched it, apparently.
I think you were working. That's what I think it was, because it was way back when we lived in Urbane. Mm-hmm. And I watched it, and I think it was like one of those late night work nights you had, so I probably watched it all by myself.
That could very well be. Especially, you know, being at the age that I am, I'm in my 40s now. And, you know, this is something like what happened to Shirley is my greatest fear of what happens to me. I don't ever want to just get to a stage where I'm going through the motions of life and, you know, I forget who you are, and, you know, we lose that connection. That's one of the things I fear most in life.
You don't want to be Joe?
No. And flipping out because I don't get my steak and eggs on Thursday.
Right. Chips and egg, and you don't want to throw fried eggs at me. That's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, appreciate that.
Yes.
Anything else?
And, you know, it was... Well, obviously we can edit this long silence out. I'm just waiting for something to come to me.
Okay.
I'm also was struck by, you know, Shirley was always the type of person who could march to the beat of her own drum.
Right.
And, you know, when she created the circumstances that allowed her to do it. And to me, that is always a brave thing to do, and something I can admire in folks who are able to do it.
Right. Those are good. Those are good reasons to like the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Were you worried about watching this movie?
I kind of was.
Like, what were your preconceived notions going into this?
That I wouldn't be able to relate to a middle-aged housewife, basically.
Right. It is kind of a chick flick, I'm not going to lie.
But, you know, it's I thought it was good. I think it is definitely a hidden gem. Do catch it if you can.
Right. It is kind of hard to find. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I think VH1, they started like re-releasing like movies from the 80s onto DVD. And that's how I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I was able to find it. So sometimes it's really hard to find, but maybe one day they'll put it on Netflix.
Maybe. I do know that some of the Amazon reviews that I've seen of this, you know, mostly one star reviews and five star reviews. 1 10 out of 10 review or five star. Finding Your Own Reality. I just recommended this movie to a friend who's having her midlife crisis. Just like Shirley, she can't stop taking care of other people at her own expense. For everyone who reviews this film, focuses on its heartwarming qualities, making it sound like Pollyanna. The reality, though, of Shirley Valentine is that it's very grounded in reality. Every moment of the film is fraught with ambiguity, moral, and emotional. Shirley's trip to Greece and subsequent adventures are not Hallmark moments. She realizes quite clearly that her fantasies are superimposed on the necessities of reality. She doesn't marry a tycoon. She gets a waitress job. She realizes from the get-go that her relationship with Costas is a good-natured fraud. The ending of the movie doesn't answer any questions except, how does Shirley feel right at this moment in time? This is not a film about escaping to a fantasy. It's about finding a reality that works for who you really are. Every human being on Earth who's dissatisfied with their life should watch this film. Another 10 out of 10 review. Getting older doesn't mean getting old. I've often used this film to cheer me up when I feel down. As I pass through middle age myself, it reminds me that, with the right attitude toward life, the years alone need not make us feel old. Shirley discovers what we all need to learn. If life ain't right, then fix it. And I think I agree that's a very strong message of this movie.
Yeah, I agree. She really does just go – she just jumped into it. Even when her friend left her, you mm-hmm. know, she just was like, well, what am I going to do? Like, have a pity party? No, I'm just going to go find a little secluded area on the beach and sit and talk to a rock.
I'm going to make the best of this.
Right. I mean, the rock can't understand you because it speaks Greek, but mm-hmm. whatever.
It's a Greek rock. Yes.
So, but yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
So what about, what's some of the negative reviews?
Well, if you believe Amazon, pretty much all of the one-star reviews have to do with the fact that it's an out-of-region disc and on a North American player and that folks couldn't play it. The one negative review that I found that really had any substance had to do – and this is kind of long, so I'm kind of going to jump around here.
It's super long. Oh, my God. Why? Like, how much time do you have on your hands to write a six-paragraph –
Somebody who really review. Hated this movie, apparently.
I mean, this movie must have really hit some anger points.
This, you know, the cinematography with its awkward jump cuts feels right out of the 70s. This is from that one-star review. Just puzzling as the movie was released in 1989. Scripting is so ham-handed and riddled with cliches that even a talented actor would have trouble rising above it to flesh out a three-dimensional character, which is kind of weird because Pauline actually did get nominated for an Oscar for this movie.
Right. Like, and this is a role that she
originated
on the stage. Mm-hmm. This is actually comes from a play,
mm-hmm.
a one-woman play.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Keep going with this negative yes. review.
My key objection to this film is that it is its double standard of a purported moral or message. That it is morally correct for the titular character to ditch her mundane life, run off to Greece, and have an affair with a Greek stereotype complete with stock mustache. I have a problem with this, as if we reverse the roles and have her husband Joe get sick of working 8 hours a day to provide food to a wife that gives it away to dogs. If we had Joe go off to Sweden and have an affair with some stock blonde complete with a bursting bust line, the same people who praise this movie would get on their soapboxes and insist the film was misogynist rubbish. I mean, aren't we just taking the same role and swapping the main character's gender? Well, yes, but the woman is allowed to blow her end of the social contract while the man is not. I have to point out a quibble with that. If Joe were to just leave, there's a very high likelihood Shirley would become destitute. I don't recall that she actually had a job.
No, she didn't. But you know what? I don't think she would have become destitute. Shirley Valentine would have come out.
Yes, she would have found a way.
And Shirley would have gotten a job and she would have made things work.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that Joe wasn't going to leave because Joe doesn't do anything with change.
Unless he's forced to.
Exactly.
And even then, it's still a struggle.
Yeah, like he didn't want to go to Greece, but he felt lost and alone without Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he realized that they really do need to be together. Maybe he realized that she was a very important part of his life. And that he was and alone that was without
why,
her.
And that was why he went to Greece.
Right. I mean, at the urging of their son.
Right.
Who was a poet.
But who went to work in his dad's factory and, you know, was going to take care of it while he was gone.
Right. Anyway. So, I mean, I understand where this person is coming from. I get it. But I don't necessarily agree with
it. I can't agree with that. There's more to that that we're not going to go into here. No. But we're gonna start to wrap things up here. Thank you for joining us for the inaugural episode of Somebody's Favorite Movie. Maybe you just found yours or something new that you want to check out. If you did and you want to give us any feedback, we can be found at
Our Favorite Movie. Our Fave Movie on Twitter.
Yes, or we are at somebodysfavemovie@gmail.com. Movie that we're going to look at next time will be another little-known movie from the late 90s called Dancer, Texas, Population 81. We hope you come back and join us for that, and we'll see you then.
I forgot to say our Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well. Anyway.
We can say that next time.
We can.
Just give me a moment, and then we'll do the bit after the mm-hmm. outro.
This is where the music goes.
This is where the music ends. Hi, thank you for sticking with us to Passia outro music. So one last question for you, Cheyenne. Do you think Joe decided to stay in Greece, or what happened after the credits rolled here? What do you think?
I really don't know. I mean, as many times as I've seen this movie, this was the first time I really sat and thought about it. I have no idea what ends up happening. Like, do they go back to England? Do they go back to their boring life? Do they realize that they really like to travel and they end up going across the globe? I don't know.
I do like to think that this little escapade has awoken something within Joe. And maybe maybe they do realize that now that their kids are out of the house, they don't need them. Maybe they do either stay in Greece or they travel more and they find their way back to each other.
Right. I mean, and I also don't want to make I don't want to make light of adultery because that's not good. But sometimes you realize what each other brings to the table and then you end up working together to figure out how to make things work. So maybe this opened each other's eyes into who they each are and what they both bring to the table. And I do want to picture them just traipsing along all over the world. That's how I picture Joe and Shirley now.
Mm-hmm. If you have a different idea of what happened after the movie, you can share it at our Gmail account, and we'll read some of the better ones on air. Until then, this has been Phil and Cheyenne for Somebody's Favorite Movie.
Bye.
Bye.